It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. In India, no issue is more sensitive than the relationship between its Hindu majority and its Muslims. India is the world's second most populous country, and it has more Muslims than any other nation except Indonesia, about 120 million of them. Hindu-Muslim relations are especially tense these days in the city of Mumbai, the commercial capital formerly known as Bombay. That is where a trial is underway for a bombing that took place 13 years ago. NPR's Philip Reeves has the story.
India's TV crews are setting up for the day. The dark stone walls of Mumbai's oldest, largest prison loom behind them into an even darker monsoon sky. Beyond those walls, a trial's taking place.
It's huge in terms of magnitude. It's fascinating in terms of dimension.
Shishir Joshi from India's TV Today network says the city's never seen anything like it. The cafe outside the prison teems with policemen, journalists and onlookers. Day after day, they're drawn to this grim place, awaiting the fate of 123 defendants.
People dying in custody, people getting married while they're in prison, children being born. It's a drama, it's emotion, and it's reality, because it really changed the way Mumbai was and Mumbai is.
Gradually, the verdicts are now coming in. The case has dragged on for a decade, but it was brought about by just 2 hours, shortly after lunch, one day in 1993.
Oh, March 12th was a kind of serial bomb blast that took place in different locations of Bombay. Horrific, sudden, very violent.
The targets were across religions and communities, because 13 blasts across Mumbai, from South Bombay, from the Bombay Stock Exchange, to a building like the Air India, which is the Indian national airline carrier, to five-star hotels, to airports, to the passport office.
259 people were killed in the biggest assault of its kind India's ever seen. In the crowded alleys of this neighborhood, they haven't forgotten that year, and not just because of the bombings. This is a Muslim ghetto inside an area called Jogeshwari. Here, people remember what happened in the weeks before the attacks on March the 12th. 3 months earlier, in December 1992, Hindu extremists destroyed a 400-year-old mosque in the northern Indian town of Ayodhya. Communal violence between Hindus and Muslims broke out. In Mumbai, mobs went on the rampage, burning down homes and raping and murdering their occupants. More than 1,000 people died in the city over a period of several weeks, mostly Muslims. Teesta Setalvad, from an organization called Citizens for Justice and Peace, says those months had a profound impact on India's Muslims.
It was not so much the demolition of the mosque, but along with the demolition, the targeted violence, which included gang rape, that created, for the first time in the Indian Muslim, the feeling that maybe he doesn't have a future here, doesn't have a stake here.
The question today is whether that sense of alienation is now growing. Some in India fear it is, and here's why. Two-thirds of the defendants now being tried for the 1993 Mumbai bombings are Muslims. Those who killed hundreds of Muslims in the same year in the same city have yet to face justice. An official commission of inquiry found that during the pogroms, policemen actively connived with Hindu extremists attacking Muslim neighbourhoods. Yet Professor Ram Punyani, who specialises in communal relations in Mumbai, says there have been no prosecutions.
Those culprits have not been punished at all. Some of them even went on to get promotions.
In the Muslim quarters of Jogeshwari, this discrepancy has been noted. Abdul Wahab Ansari, a labourer, sees it as blatant double standards.
This is
absolutely one-sided, because those that actually killed and looted and raped Muslims have got away scot-free.
Ansari is one of some 3 million Muslims in Mumbai. They form about 15% of the city's population and are made up of many elements.
There are Shias, there are Sunnis, there are Bohras.
Ashgar Ali Engineer of the Centre for Study of Society and Secularism in Mumbai goes on to list 6 more.
Majority of Muslims are living in slums and they belong to the lower socio-economic strata. Many of them are small traders, artisans and doing small little petty jobs everywhere. So mainly I will say that this is the poorest section of the community of Bombay.
Ram Punyani says Muslims are also severely underrepresented in the ranks of the police, and that imbalance is reflected in police attitudes.
Many a times when we conduct workshops and we ask police, who do you think Muslims are? Generally, they equate Muslims with criminals. And in the aftermath of this bomb blast, the first thing they did was to catch hold of Muslims in hundreds indiscriminately.
The blasts he's talking about are not from 1993. On July the 11th this year, bombers struck Mumbai again, blowing up seven trains. 187 people were killed.
Shock, outrage. And then slowly it dawned on them that we asked for it.
That's how Mahesh Bhatt, one of Bollywood's better-known movie directors, remembers the impact on the city. This was a sequel no one in Mumbai wanted to see.
There was a need to blame it all on Islamic terrorism, the jihadi forces. That's why you saw, to soothe the nerves of the majority, you broke into homes of poor, helpless Muslim people and paraded them in front of the media.
Not everyone's critical of the police's performance. Some community workers say this time the police made a concerted effort to open lines of communication with the Muslim community and address its concerns. NPR contacted Mumbai police numerous times, but was unable to secure an interview. Mumbai's trains are running normally again. The city's police commissioner says there's evidence the bombings were planned by Pakistani intelligence, an allegation Pakistan strongly denies. He also says they were carried out by the Kashmiri militant group Lashkar-e-Toiba, acting with local Indian Muslims. For Bhatt, the movie director, Mumbai still has much unsettled business. He believes those responsible for pogroms against Muslims in Mumbai and also in the western state of Gujarat in 2002 must be prosecuted. If not, he says, it'll only strengthen extremist groups like Lashkar or Al-Qaeda.
The monster that you're trying to fight is going to have a field day in this region. You can't turn a blind eye to monstrosity like this. I feel there is an urgent need for India to wake up and deliver justice to the minority.
As he and his friends play karam, a game like snooker but played with wooden discs, Abdul Wahab Ansari says so far there's little sign anyone in authority is listening.
If they see
a Muslim with a beard or a cap, they brand us as terrorists from the Lashkar-e Toiba or from the Al-Qaeda.
He has this warning.
If they keep troubling youngsters like this, they'd be forced to join the ranks of organizations such as the Lashkar-e Toiba or the Al-Qaeda.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, New Delhi.